Hello and welcome to another episode of Hank's A Lot, the comprehensive and encyclopedic podcast examining chronologically the films of Tom Hanks. I am your host, Kent Shelton, and joining me this week from Hollywood, California, Tinseltown, the dream factory itself, where starry-eyed hopefuls flock every year with visions of seeing themselves glittering 6 feet tall upon the silver screen, and where they mostly end up polishing cuspidors with broken hearts. It's Mr. Trace Oakley. And from a...
Thanks so much. That's all the time we have this week.
And from a wet town in the Northwest is our musical director, Mr. Kevin Dennis.
Hailing the soggy raggy.
How you guys doing?
Welcome, welcome to the show. You're not in Seattle tonight, right?
I'm actually in Boise, Idaho tonight.
Where bad Boises go. There you go. Well, we are joining you this week, as we do every week, to talk about a film in the oeuvre of Mr. Tom Hanks. Tom Hanks, this is episode 57, I think, of the show, and his blockbuster shelf is getting thin. We're catching up to Mr. Tom Hanks. He either needs to start making movies faster, or we need to start talking more slowly. Something. Start doing an annual podcast. This week's movie, it's a movie that you may have heard of because it's a remake. It's called Pinocchio. It's about a little wooden boy who wants to be a real boy, and I don't know, somehow becomes half a donkey or something in the process. It was one of those classic Disney animated films that even as a 6 year old, I was like, yeah, I'll take a pass. I'll watch Robin Hood. I'll watch the Aristocats. I don't need Pinocchio. Pinocchio and Dumbo were both, they were a strong pass for me even as a child, but they decided, what better way to honor a film like Pinocchio, but to remake it as a live action film with terrible actors and terrible CGI.
Wait a minute. We have a professional.
Come on.
I'm not saying they succeeded in their dream of making it terrible. We'll find that out. When we hear the review,
what if I really, really liked it?
Well,
I'll bet you my entire retirement account that you didn't like this movie.
Can I rewrite this really fast?
I might be shocked and surprised. But here, I'm gonna cue up a little. We have a little something we call the review jingle, and we're gonna play that, and we're gonna hear a review. Take it away, Doc Severinsen.
Well, now it's time for the review. Trace, please tell us, what is your view?
It's the oft-told tale of the wooden puppet who longs to be a real boy. Along the way, he starts, then is kicked out of school. He joins a traveling show where he's imprisoned when not performing, and he lands in a strange place where misbehavior is rewarded. Along the way, the wood one discovers that his nose grows when he lies. The bigger the whopper, the more he becomes Jimmy Durante on steroids. For example, if Pinocchio were to say, "No, that dress doesn't make you look fat," his nose might grow, or it might not. If he said, "Walt Disney is frozen," his nose might or might not grow, depending on, well, if he is or isn't. If Pinocchio said the recent phenomenon of wildly successful leading man of movie fame suddenly playing non-leading man roles is a good thing, and Tom Hanks' character actor is not only a great career move, but said actor is absolutely brilliant in these character roles. Wow, Pinocchio's nose just pierced the ozone layer. If one were to watch Hanks as Geppetto in Pinocchio and as Colonel Tom Parker in Elvis out of context, watching only Hanks in his scenes, one might assume this was an actor who had hit bottom and was eking out a living being the one American actor in low-budget overseas flicks. But it's not Gid Young or David Carradine or Lee Van Cleef. It's Tom Hanks. And the last two films were directed by A-listers, Baz Luhrmann and Robert Zemeckis. As bad as Hanks is in the 2022 Disney remake of the Disney movie Pinocchio, the direction by Zemeckis manages to be worse. As we watch the endless moralizing, one can almost see Zemeckis salivating through the celluloid as he makes the wooden boy learn all about being brave, truthful, and obedient, and to never ever allow yourself a moment of critical thinking, and to never, never, never question authority. Look, Ma, I made Forrest Gump into a puppet. The film's dialogue is so stilted it sounds like a foreign language movie that was dubbed by English-speaking actors racing to make the words fit the mouth movements. It also contains numerous contemporary references clumsily tacked on wherever a laugh is needed, which is always, though it doesn't work. Having Jiminy Cricket call the title character Pinocchio probably seemed like a stroke of genius to the simpletons who wrote this dreck, but it grows tiresome after the third or fourth time until we realize this is the entire depth of the Jiminy character. He calls Pinocchio Pinocchio. What else do we need? Pinocchio! Pinocchio the Pinocchinator, making copies! There are also heavy-handed commentaries on fame and how corrupting it is, yet here is evidence that fame and fortune mostly makes you boring and self-righteous. The main failure of the film is that the many scenes portraying cruelty and debauchery are the only relief from storytelling and performances that are unrelentingly dull. This remake uses some of the not very good songs from the original and introduces equally terrible new songs. This works about as well as you would expect. The performances range from awful to adequate. Benjamin Evan Ainsworth is lifeless as Pinocchio. Keegan-Michael Key is over the top but not very interesting as Honest John. And Cynthia Erivo is convincing but unenchanting as the Blue Fairy. Is anything good here? Yes. The puppetry is outstanding and there are some wonderful choreographed musical numbers involving said puppets. And the one great song, When You Wish Upon a Star, remains and sounds as beautiful as ever. Revisiting this story, one is reminded what a multi-layered and episodic tale it actually is. It's much more than a puppet who longs to be real and a nose that grows when the mouth beneath it spouts lies. It's a twisty road of adventures that lends itself beautifully to stage and screen, which makes this Disney Hanks Zemeckis fiasco even more of an embarrassment. My score? 4 hankies. Whoops! Watch out for that nose. And I guess I don't get Kevin's retirement account.
Well, there you go. You just about summed it up, except that you did say a nice thing or two about the movie, and I'm gonna argue with you there. This movie was this was punishment to watch. This was of all of the 56 previous movies we've watched, I haven't had to just take any of them in like 15-minute chunks.
Really, even Cloud Atlas? Because I had to do that with Cloud Atlas.
I mean, Cloud Atlas, maybe I took an intermission, but I did not, like, I took this movie like medicine. Like, I would take a spoonful of it and then walk around cursing. It was terrible. I thought, everything from the animation, which I thought, Jiminy Cricket looked like an alien. He looked creepy. He was had too much of an insect shine to him. He was gross, and everything about it, I thought, the things that should have been easy to CGI, like the cat and the goldfish, looked terrible. They looked they looked like cartoons. I suffered through this one, and I felt like I could not, at the end of the day, figure out why they dumped a bunch of time and money into remaking essentially what was, was a halfway decent cartoon that they could have re-released practically free of charge. It's sitting in the Disney vault. All they had to do is say, hey, we're putting Pinocchio back out again. And it would have had to have been a much more of a financial windfall than this nightmare.
Right, but I also think that in almost anyone else's hands, it would have been at least somewhat better than this. Because this is just, as I said, I mean, there are a couple of things I liked about
it. Someone's hands, really, you mean Zemeckis.
I mean Zemeckis. I mean Zemeckis. Right. I mean Hanks. I mean the writers. Yeah, because it's, you know, what surprised me was that I had forgotten a lot of the story. I don't know when the last time I saw any incarnation of Pinocchio was, but it was a really long time ago. I had forgotten about you know, Pleasure Island. I had forgotten about, you know, about the performing. There's a lot to the story.
Stromboli.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, it really could have been a really good remake, or even just a passable remake, if it hadn't been just so dull, so lifeless, so preachy in this incarnation.
Well, if they were going to stick with that that hideous CGI Jiminy Cricket, I think maybe David Cronenberg could have directed it, and it would have been more effective.
Sure, yeah, I'll take
it,
that.
It would have been super creepy. This little wooden boy who dreams of being real. It would be classic Cronenberg body horror, and children would have been terrified. But at least that would have been something.
Chris Columbus could have directed this and made it more edgy than this crap.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think you need to, I'd like, I don't even want to bother. I'd like one of you two to talk about the ending.
Well, I don't know.
I'm going to keep drinking my beer.
The ending, I was so happy when they all got, eaten by a monster. They all got eaten by a monster, and I was like, thank God it ended like the beginning of Jaws. They're dead, and it's over.
And then the monster spits out that toothpick. That was a nice little allusion to, oh, there's a little part of Pinocchio.
Yeah. I really would have liked at the end there, if Pinocchio, when he was paddling away and getting closer to the cave to try to escape the monster, I would have liked him turning around and saying, "Open wide, you son of a bitch!" Like Roy Scheider at the end of Jaws. That would have been nice. They like to throw in some modern references.
No, but I'm talking about the becoming real. The whole everything of this premise. And how did they end it?
Oh, they end it with Jiminy Cricket saying, like, I don't know, maybe he became real. I'm really bored with the story. See ya. They left it completely up in the air. You see either a scene or maybe an imagined vision of Pinocchio losing his wooden joints for a second. Maybe he all of a sudden has real elbows and knees for a couple of frames. But yeah, they leave it up in the air. And Jiminy Cricket says, well, some folks say he became a real boy. And some folks say that the election was rigged. And I don't know. It's all fake news. You don't know who to trust. Goodbye.
Join the circle.
Yeah. It was a mess. It was a mess from the get-go, and it remained one even through the closing credits. I thought the songs were, you know, the songs are what they are. Either they're the new ones weren't good, the old ones were never great, except for When You Wish Upon a Star.
Yeah,
I thought I got No Strings originally was a good song too. It's well written and it's clever and catchy, and there's nothing wrong with it, I don't think. And When You Wish Upon a Star is a classic, well written song.
Yeah,
and the rest is just absolute garbage. Just,
you know, I can remember somewhere along the way occasionally hearing the song An Actor's Life for Me, and I've always thought, oh, what a terrible song that is, and then realizing, oh, that's from Pinocchio. I didn't realize that.
But even that song is, I mean, even if you don't like it, it's a well-written, musically good song. The new ones they put in, I'm quick to say I'm not anything. I could definitely have written better songs than those.
But come on. You know, where else can you find, you know, someone rhyming Pinocchio and Holy Smokio?
Well, yeah, that's good writing.
And I'm not a good lyricist, and I can do better than that. I'm lousy at lyrics, and I'm fair at musical stuff, and I could do infinitely better than that garbage they put out. And I did not like the Blue Fairy. I disagree with your review. I thought you were way too generous with her. Oh. I thought that her presentation of that song was dreadful. It was off pitch, and it was oddly weird at the end, the way she hit the note. No, I thought it was dreadful. I thought it was absolutely dreadful. I thought Jiminy Cricket was dreadful.
I had a big problem with Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who's a talented enough actor.
Yeah, he's fine.
The voice he decided to use for Jiminy Cricket, which was this kind of like, I don't know, weird kind of squeaky Colonel Sanders thing he tried to, I don't know what he was trying to do. But
he was trying to turn up Colonel Tom Parker.
Yeah, he lost out on that role.
Yeah, but it was as annoying a voice as you could give to an animated character, and then he just wouldn't shut up with it. And the Pinocchio, come on! I'm glad you mentioned this Pinocchio nonsense.
And I hate to do the whole Zemeckis thing because I liked Forrest Gump. Thank you very much. But I agree that my biggest problem was I kept watching Jiminy Cricket, and I was going, there's no need for this character in this movie at all. He's fumbling everywhere. He gets
all it is fall off of wagons. He falls into the road and watches Pinocchio ride away about 14 times.
Yeah.
In this movie,
and I was just, this is not necessary.
He'll hop all over the entire set the way a cricket does, and then when he's 3 inches from getting the key off the wall. Sitting on the end of Pinocchio's nose, he's like, I can't reach it. There's no way I can get to it.
Yeah.
There's no way. I was like, we've watched you jump 17 feet like 11 times, and you can't clear this last 6 inches to the key on the wall. I don't know.
And I'm so good at finding the good and the joy in movies, and I like to. I'm always looking for, why am I watching this and having a good time with it? Man, this movie, just garbage from beginning to end. I hated it. And the kid, I'm loath to do this as well, but the kid actors in this, all of them, 100% of the kid actors were so bad. Like my son's junior high school has infinitely better actors than these guys. And it's just, it was just like, wow, how could they get past the casting department at Disney? I don't know.
What we're telling you folks is run, don't walk out to see Pinocchio. Oh. Get it while it's hot, man.
I hate to be dumped on it, but I got nothing.
You black-hearted curmudgeons.
That's me.
You didn't even enjoy the choreography.
No.
Which I did like.
No, the one thing I did like, no, you're right. I did like the only redeeming factor was I didn't like the overplacement of the handicapped girl as the dancer. That was a little too on the nose.
I agree with you there.
She was a good actress.
Okay, yeah, so she was decent, and I did love
the mirror network was excellent.
Yeah, it really was. Yeah,
my favorite character was Sabine, the dancer. The dancer. So it had some good moments.
Yeah,
I should say it did have some good moments. I'm wrong. Yeah. There was one good child actor. Sorry, she was good.
I found the whole Pleasure Island sequence I don't know. I found it just a headache and a nightmare. I didn't think it was very cleverly done. I also, this Geppetto has to be, he's got to make the worst clocks in the world because Pinocchio shows up at his house and, they tell him, Lorraine Bracco, the seagull, while she's not being Tony Soprano's seagull analyst for a minute, she tells him like, oh yeah, he sold all his clocks and bought a boat. And he sold 1,000 of these ornate Disney themed clocks out of his house. And then you see the boat and it's like a 4 foot long rowboat with it is a $12 boat that he got for his thousands of clocks. These clocks that everybody in town was begging him, like, oh, you have to sell me the one with the little fox and the hound.
Name your price.
Yeah. And he managed to get up.
I guess boats in that area are really pricey.
You got a 4 foot dinghy out of it. So, yeah, terrible clocks. They're junk
or,
clocks.
Or really, really big boat market at the right areas.
Yeah, yeah. Tight boat market in Parma or wherever, whatever Italian town this is supposed to be.
And you know, after watching this, Trace and I have been talking kind of behind the scenes a few times about should we contact Tom Hanks and maybe get him to talk about the shows and get him on, see if he'll talk to us. And after this movie, I'm kind of like, I don't know if that's a good idea.
Well, you know, again, Tom Hanks has really, really impressed me in a lot of the movies we've done, you know, in the last few months. He's done better than I thought he would when we started this. But these last two, Hanks, the character actor, give it up, dude.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to want to hear that from us if we talk to him personally. So
yeah, we'll just cut that part. We'll just cut that part out.
No,
you've listened to all of my movies and you like four.
I think there is a lesson for actors here. If you're a respected actor and you have A-list. The opportunity and you have the opportunity to play a popular animated Italian character, look to Bob Hoskins, who played Mario in the Super Mario Brothers movie, and then look at Tom Hanks, who played Geppetto in this, and just take a pass. Say, I'm not going to play an animated Italian because it doesn't ever turn out well for us serious actors.
Yes, and if you're looking to play a real-life American Southern and Dutch puppeteer of a major music star, also look elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah, or say I'll do it, but with the no fat suit and no crazy phony nose and let me just use my own accent. I think that it was the biggest failing of his performance in Elvis was that wardrobe and prosthetics.
Oh,
and
for
B,
sure,
and B that he obviously hated the character he was playing.
He
had no empathy with the character he was portraying for even a moment. Anyway, that's our thoughts on Pinocchio.
Real quick, one more thing.
Yeah.
Just real quick. So the music, I do want to mention, because a big A-list musician as well, composer, was doing this one. So Alan Silvestri is one of my favorite, big composers. He did Forrest Gump, and he's in The Abyss, and lots of other stuff. Anyway, he's kind of a big famous guy, and I like him. I like his music a lot. I think it's great because it's very subtle and quiet in the background and works and evokes a lot of emotion without getting in the way. And I thought the background music in this movie did that. It was fine. It was good. It was also very good Alan Silvestri stuff. But I'm now going to have to do this. Alan Silvestri wrote several of the songs in this one, including When He Was Here With Me and Pinocchio and I Will Always Dance and The Coachman to Pleasure Island, all of these songs. And so Alan Silvestri is an amazing film score background guy. I don't care for his songwriting abilities.
Write the lyrics, right?
No, he wrote the music. And
yeah, because the lyrics were what was really terrible about the new songs.
But I'm going to jump out on the Coachman to Pleasure Island. I could have done a better job of writing that music. I thought it was terrible. And Alan, I'll tell you to your face, you're way better than me on everything else. But just sorry, dude.
Yeah, knock it off. I will always dance with a nice stuff, song, man.
But I think you should stick with what he's good at. Boy, that's hard for me to say because I haven't done anything like him. But I got to say it. I got to be the black-hearted curmudgeon on that one and go.
You got to call him like you see him, Kevin.
That's what I'm getting paid for in there.
That's
those hard things.
These bitcoins, they're coming to you for that, all that hard work.
Can I ask a quick question? Kevin, back to your retirement account, would you consider that to be something of a money pit?
Right under the wire. Wow.
It is now. Now it is. Great. Oh, I feel sick.
All right.
Well,
we like to leave the show on a high note, and so we are going to see We're going to put him to the test and see if Kevin says he can write a better song than was featured in this Pinocchio movie. He said, damn that Alan Silvestri. I can do better than him. And now he gets to step up to the plate and prove it. Please enjoy this heartfelt tribute to Pinocchio by our own musical director, Mr. Kevin Dennis. We will see you guys next week. We're going to be talking about A Man Called Otto. Actually, it's just a movie called A Man Called Otto. We might not talk about it.
It's about an Ottoman?
Yeah, it is about an Ottoman.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes. It's so put your feet up and relax.
I just felt our membership drop by 20%.
Yes. Yes. And we will see you next week in the Ottoman Empire. Right. And until then, enjoy this musical interlude. And by the way, Hank's a lot.
An old man with lonely heart pines for a boy. One that will become more than just a toy. Memory is the thing that holds the key. Happily ever after was never meant to be. If my wish came true, that would be wonderful. My black and white world would become colorful. When you wish up on a star, you don't know what you'll get. Best to remember more than you forget. When the time comes, you will know what to do. Your friends that love you will be there for you. If you can recognize love that you feel, that is the moment that you become real.
Well, you made it through another episode of Hank's a Lot, the Tom Hanks podcast. Our show is recorded and mastered at Cliffside Studios in Spokane, Washington. Your hosts are Trace Oakley, Kevin Dennis, and me, Kent Shelton. Please send corrections, comments, and indecent proposals to hankspodcast@gmail.com. Tom Hanks has not been consulted or compensated and knows nothing about what goes on here. All music used on the show is composed and performed by our own Mr. Kevin Dennis. Thank you for listening. Tell your friends. Come back next week and bring your sister. And please rate and review us on your favorite podcast catcher. Thanks for the support, and goodbye.